Listen, several things going on here that you probably need to take part in. One big one is this prayer sheet we're keeping over here. All you have to do, by the way, let me show you a trick. All you have to do is come over here and get a pen and write down a personal prayer request for the summer. A person's name, yourself, whatever. Don't put all the detail. If it's an embarrassing situation, just put your name up there. We'll figure it out. But let's say somebody's put one up here, like I did, church leadership. And you've got the same thing in your mind. I want to pray for church leadership. All you have to do is just maybe put a check somewhere around it. Just indicate it's on your heart, too. And every 2 weeks, a group of people get together here and pray on Wednesday nights. And this will be a routine part of their praying for you. So take advantage of that. I'd like to put up a lot more papers around the room as we pray for each other throughout the summer. A highlight so far early in the summer was Friday night. Friday night we had a worship and prayer night down at Oakwood. A number of our people came, to the tune of like 30 folks, which was just fun. But for me, it was, no offense to anybody I'm going to mention right now, for me it was kind of comical in a way, because I walked in the back door early for a leadership meeting, which we were going to have and pray and et cetera before I went out to do this, and I helped put this thing together. But didn't realize all the components of it. And when I walked in the back door of Oakwood, there up center stage in the back is Brian on the drums. And it made me giggle. I don't know why. Just your face. Anyway, not the point. So, no, it's warm. Hold on, I'm going to redeem this. Watch this. It was warm and welcoming, and I felt at home. Okay, good. And then I tried to get Brian to do his animal for some of the Oakwood people, and he wouldn't do it. So there'll be more of those events coming up as we continue to draw into a closer relationship with them, which basically we should have been having all these years, and now we're just pulling that together. Also, I looked up, and there's Rose center stage with a microphone helping lead worship, and that was just really kind of cool. So it was great to see you guys involved. Thanks for doing that. I had an event a couple of years ago in a doctor's office that I thought I would tell you about because it's kind of interesting. I don't exactly know what it means because I don't know the people involved. But when I go to a situation like that, I really kind of pay attention to what's going on around me. I don't know if you're like that, too. Okay, I eavesdrop when I go to places like that. I just get a kick out of listening what other people are being told and et cetera. And this one lady and her husband, and they weren't old, looked like they were in their 40s, but they were leaving as I was getting my weight and they were doing height. Like, my height changes between doctor's appointments. Come on. I'm 6'1". I've been 6'1 for years. And so my doctor's office, I am. How about yours? Okay. But anyway, the point of the matter is that while I'm out in the hallway getting all this preliminary stuff done, I hear back in the room, one of the examining rooms behind me, a little bit of talk. So immediately my ears focus on what's going on somewhere else. That's just the way I am. And so I hear this phrase from the doctor coming out of the room. And the doctor says, it's in regards to the husband who's sick or something, but it says to the wife, and you make sure this time he takes all his medicine.
Oh boy.
I mean, that dude's in a lot of trouble, okay, whatever's going on there. And I wouldn't have made note of it, except for a little bit later, here's what happened. 2-3 minutes later, as they were checking out, the PA went by and grabbed the wife and said, you make sure he takes all his medicine this time. This poor guy's not a kid. He wasn't a little kid. And he's being treated that way by you doctor types. That was kind of fun. So anyway, so they ganged up on him because evidently he'd done the bad, okay, and didn't get a lollipop that day either. So anyway, I was thinking about, it made me think about the times that I've done things with medicine or people around me have done things with medicine that they shouldn't have done. When I was a kid, way back in the days of Barney Rubble and Fred Flintstone and back in Bedrock, when I was a kid growing up, and I mean little kid, 6, 7, and got taken to the doctor, I remember one very specific time. Those were the days where they gave liquids out, at least to kids, they still do. They gave horrible tasting liquids out as medicine. I don't know what it was. I don't know what I had. I don't know nothing. Except that I do know this. My mother was not real sharp in this area at all. And she could have used an appointment with that doctor I saw just a couple years ago because she would take a teaspoon and pour out a teaspoon of the medicine, and she would give it to me. Now, most of you think you know me, but I'm going to tell you, you don't know me yet. So I determined that I could take that medicine into the other room, and she let me do it.
Wow.
Okay? Where we had a cat.
Oh,
okay?
No.
And so I found that this horrible-tasting medicine on a spoon was delectable to the cat. And so the cat would laugh it all up, and I'd bring it back to my mother, the empty spoon, and she'd go, good job. And so X amount of hours later, when I'd get another spoonful, my mother would let me leave the room. And I would go and I would give it to the cat. And this went on day after day. And the cat, I am not kidding, lasted 2 weeks. I don't know if it was tied to the medicine or what, but all I know is that in 2 weeks, the cat was gone. Do what you want. Do what you want with that. So fast forward, by the way, that is true. Fast forward a couple of years to just X amount of years ago, and here I've got a house full of little kids. And you can imagine me, oh, forget it. You can imagine my wife with me and kids in the house and what that's like, all right? I'm a little bit on the active side. I kind of goad the kids into being a little on the active side. I am making up games. And basically, mom is there, my wife is there to torment. And so, we never said it like that, but that's how it worked out. Because every so often she'd say, Michael, you just got to stop. And by the way, I still hear that. Okay, so here's the deal. When the kids were like in junior high, one of them, I can't remember who it was, got pills. First time our kids had ever gotten pills for medicine, for whatever was the matter with them. And so look at history repeating itself. Mike, you dummy. And so what I would do is I would hand the pill to my junior high, and I remember one of the boys, age son, and said, make sure you take this pill, but did not watch them do it. Okay, didn't think anything of it. Gave these pills out every 4 hours. Did not think anything of it. Just thought, you know, my kids, they're wonderful kids. They're very obedient. They're going to take their pills. We're good. Yeah, right. Okay. Couple years later, we're moving from that house. And I pick up the couch with another friend of mine to get it out into the moving truck. And we tilted it just the right way. And all these pills come running out of the bottom of the couch onto the floor. The kids had tucked them in between the cushions or whatever on the couch. Amazing, isn't it? But you know the process, don't you? You don't feel good, something's the matter, you go to the doctor, and with good fortune and Lord's provision, etc., you get medicine to take. You do take the medicine, by the way. You take the medicine and you get better. Does everybody understand that? If you got that this morning, then you got what I'm going to do with our teaching time this morning from James. This is a summer tune-up. And in the book of James, he was writing to followers of Christ who had some huge problems. Hold it, stop. I thought that the New Testament church was so pure. I thought that the New Testament church, because they were so close to Jesus, there were people here that actually saw Jesus. There were people here that actually heard Jesus teaching. Surely these people were in a better state than we are today. Not exactly. Read through the book of Corinthians and look at all the stuff they were into. Immorality and lawsuits against each other and lying and cheating and stealing. Body of Christ. Well, here with James, we're writing to a body of Christ, and here's what gets written to these people. The serious problem that they have. And what he does is he exposes the problem, he diagnoses it, and then he gives them the medicine to make it better, a prescription for how to do it. Because these people that close to Jesus Christ had, literally, watch me, everybody's got to look at this, okay? I have been practicing this all week. Watch. Raise your hand, you think you know what I'm doing. Does everybody know what I'm doing? I'm not line dancing, okay? If it is, it's line dancing for very, very... Mildred, what am I doing? Yeah, not quick though, right? Okay. These people had fellowship with Christ. They had the genuine thing. They were with the people and heard from the teaching of the people who had been with Jesus Christ. And for whatever reason... they slowly drifted away. I was up in Lake Erie one year with a friend's $15,000 bass boat. And I don't remember him telling me to tie it up at the dock. I'm not a boat person. I go in, I fish from them, but I'm not a boat person, all right? They don't even let me drive those things, all right? But anyway, this one time, we were up there, we were walleye fishing and having a great old time, and we went into the dock to go get something to eat at a restaurant. And he swears he told me, tie up the boat. I'm not a boat person. I don't know what that means. So I didn't tie up the boat. Now, for you boat people here, I'm going to tell you something. Even on a calm lake, you know what a boat will do? drift. We were an hour and a half in a restaurant. We now went to get in the boat, and it was almost dark. And we went out to the dock, and it was gone.
Well, the fun and, part is and, sitting
there
and
say, he thought it was stolen, and I thought it was stolen too. And he said to me, "Did you tie up my boat?" And I was like, "You didn't tell me to tie up the boat. I don't know how to tie up a boat. I really don't. Well, I do, but I do now. And I didn't do it, and it was nowhere to be seen. Nowhere to be seen. And somebody took us out in one of their boats just before dark. So now you're losing sight. And took us out, and we found it way down the coast. It wasn't even a breezy day. The boat literally on its own decided to go for a walk down the lake. And it was about a half a mile away up against somebody's other dock, just laying there. Needless to say, I didn't keep my friendship with him that much longer. You get the idea. Look at this. This whole thing here, what we're going to look at this morning, is a great way to get our summer tuned up to start. We're going to do this for 3 weeks and then also have communion together. If you let the Lord's Word teach you this morning, it will help to recalibrate and recenter you, because I maintain this, and I can't say this way, but I will. I maintain that if you're going to sin, sin's easier to do in the summer for some reason. The disciplines get dropped. The habits get dropped. The lifestyle is different. The sun stays out longer. You get the idea? We wear sandals. You get the idea? And what happens is this. It seems like we, if we're gonna, at any time of the year, do this. It's summer that we drift. And oh, by the way, like that boat that was quarter mile, half mile away, or whatever it was. I'm not good with nautical distance, so it was a ways down the lake. How's that? All right? But the reality is this. That boat, in an hour and a half, slowly drifted away, completely out of sight. And hold it. The people that James is writing to slowly went like this, to the point they didn't look like they did before. They didn't look like Jesus Christ. Not hardly in any shape or form. And so we look at it this way this morning. We as the church are called to be a certain, here it is, we're called to be a certain way. You understand that? We're called to look a certain way, act a certain way, react a certain way, all based on the person of Jesus Christ. And as I say this right now, if you just hear your mind spinning, you go, Mike, it's not that way. It seems like we've moved. Yeah, and we've had a couple of thousand years to move. And how far down the lake can we get if we had a couple of thousand years to drift? James is going to address the drift with a diagnosis. And he's going to say what the prescription is. And that's what we're here for. Let's pray. Let's give this time to the Lord. Hey, listen, before I pray, would you pray right now? Would you just pray a simple prayer in your heart? Lord, teach me this morning. Lord, challenge me this morning. Lord, I'm listening to you this morning. Maybe you haven't prayed a prayer like that in a long time. But would you do that right now in your heart of hearts? With the God of the universe, would you pray that way? Do that right now. Our Father, I thank you that you hear our prayers, and we do truly want to hear from you, not from Mike. But Father, I pray right now that you take over my mind and my heart. And that, Father, your word is the thing that would go out this morning. For it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen. James had been talking about the climate of peace, which produces a harvest of righteousness. You can read what's before this. And that was not happening. There was a problem. There was something to matter. So look at your outline. The problem is this. Let me read for us from James chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. You've seen this scripture before, but maybe not in this light. He's writing to fellow believers. He's writing to those who are inside the church. Just put that in your mind for a minute and watch the graphic language and how sharp this is. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? The church! Not those people out there. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this? That your passions are at war within you. You desire and do not have. So you murder. In the church? So you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. I am no joke. I've been studying this for weeks to come here this morning and talk about this. Are you kidding me? I don't even buy that. That's ridiculous. You're saying this to people who are folks like me and you that love Jesus. How can you do that? Have they drifted that far? Yeah, look around. Most of the churches you see today have drifted so far that I would say this, and this is cold, I would say they're not churches. They have a building, they have a steeple, they may have an organ, they may have a piano, they may have a pastor, but they're not churches. They're clubs and organizations of some kinds. And I'm not going to point out which ones that we might be talking about right now, but I would say the majority of churches are not churches, the body of Christ. They are the building which was never meant to be the body of Christ. So let's talk about the problem here from verses 1 to 3. Take some notes. Understand this. Verse 1, there's words used here that are terms of warfare. Terms like hatred, antagonism, quarrels, fights, wars. Wow. Even to read that about the body of Christ is alarming. Are you kidding me? No. This is what's going on. Look at verse 2. It literally renders like this. You're longing and eagerly desire. Very forceful terms. You murder, you fight, you quarrel. You're not working for each other's benefits and maturity, but rather you're tearing each other apart, and you're destroying other people, and you're doing this out of the attitude of, I want to get, and I want to get more. It's about me, it's not about you. It's selfish motives for sure. Can you imagine having all the stuff? I'll just make this real personal. Can you imagine having all the stuff that we have? We have. Forget about you. Let's talk about me for a minute. Let's make it embarrassing to Mike. Can you imagine Mike, who lives in this culture at this time, who has all the stuff that he has, honestly, and you could say this if you'd like, honestly praying for more stuff? What would you say if you knew that Mike in his private prayer life was praying for more stuff? What would you say to that? And what would I say about you if your main prayer concern was to pray for more stuff? Do you need more stuff? In fact, we cleaned out our house twice this year. And guess what we still have? More stuff! And we gave a lot of stuff away, but we've still got more stuff. How could that be? And do you know what? Watch. Transparency. Here it is. I got a list. You don't know it, okay? You do now. I got a list. And we cleared out a bunch of stuff. And on my list is other stuff that I want. Okay? Now, I don't know when I'm going to get the other stuff, but it's on my list. And we cleared out stuff so I could get other stuff. And hold it! And when that list of stuff... I'm talking like the evil prince sort of. And when that list of stuff is gotten, guess what? There'll be another list I'll put down of more stuff that I want. And that's what I'm praying about, because I want more. Now, there's some truth to what I just said, and it is true for you too. But in this case, these people were destroying each other to get more stuff. Remember, church in the New Testament, the genuine church, is a unique living organism. This is not an organization. It's an organism. A whole different thing. It is the body of Christ. It is the functioning body of Jesus Christ on this earth. We are, I'm going to say it, we are His hands, we are His feet. His Holy Spirit energizes us to do the mission He's called us to do. If you're not about the mission where He's put you, and I always say strategically placed you, then you're not following Him, and you're not doing what you need to do in the body of Christ. Simple as that. And if you're struggling with what your ministry is or should be, I've got some leadership people here who'd be glad to talk with you and help you maybe define and refine where you need to serve, where God has strategically placed you. You're in a spot right now, day by day, that I am not. I can't be there with you, nor should I be. You're in a spot touching people and talking in relationships and family, etc., that I can't be. And God has strategically put you there to represent Him. You getting the idea? The church is a living organism. It's called a new community. It is a new culture of what we do. This is everything family's supposed to be, and then ramp it up on steroids. It's much more than that. And you know what? Because of Jesus Christ in us, We think and we act and we operate differently than anybody else does out there. But as part of the drift, here I am, as part of the drift, I stop acting and thinking and reacting like Christ, and I start thinking like the people who are around me. I am not set apart in any single way. And you know what also? Serving Him is not part of the equation. Serving me is. So, what have I got? A list. And I know you've got real needs, but my list of what I want for toys is more important than your list for what you genuinely need. And shame on me for that. Shame on you for that. It's never been about me. It was always meant to be about you. So much so that I give up the stuff about me to give to you to make your life easier to meet your needs. Wow. Dramatic concept. There we go. So there's the problem, okay? There's the problem of what these people were like. What was the cause to that? For you doctors and medical people in the crowd, what was the virus that was causing these symptoms? That's point number two. The cause. Let me read for you. By the way, we don't have any children in the audience, do we? Because I'm going to get rather graphic with this. Well, we're all children. I'm just talking of little vintage, not... Okay. Let me read verses 4 and 5 for you, which is the second point. James says, "You adulterous people." What? "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity, enemy, opposition, strong opposition with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is to no purpose that the Scripture says he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us?" The cause is this, and this is an Old Testament concept, and this is a New Testament concept, and it's a concept everybody in this room can understand. Write it down. They were an adulterous people. Now, let's try to understand that a little bit better. Okay? They were, and as soon as I said adulterous, everybody got an idea in their mind. Let me tell you who you're married to. All right? Look at your scripture here. Jeremiah 31:32 says, and pictures us as the wife of the Lord. Ephesians 5:23-32 calls us the bride of Christ. Apparently, our union with God is so sacred that it's pictured as the most sacred human relationship we can have. Marriage. Man, woman, committed to each other. Oh, and you know it's the greatest thing in the world, don't you? And you know at times it can be the worst thing in the world, right? Everybody got that? Man, woman, committed to living life together. And right away everybody starts thinking sexual things. Well, no, that's part of it too. That's the way it's supposed to work. And then it goes so much deeper than that as two people share heart on top of heart and work on and go after life together as God has called them together in what the Scripture calls one flesh to accomplish His goal. Everybody understands what a marital relationship is, how exclusive that is. You don't let other people in, it's just you. And everybody in here understands this. We know what adultery is too, don't we? We know what adultery is. I've got that. I know what that means. Because there's two systems pictured here. One is being faithful to God, who actually lives within us, which is amazing intimacy. And the other picture is, oh, the world. The system of Satan, the wicked, sinful, anti-God that goes on all around this creation. And that, by the way, is very subtle. It has values. Holy, we as in Christ, we've got values, but they've got values. And their values and attitudes and standards and measurements of success are so much different than we are. But yet, we find ourselves going like this. Here we go. I've often teased with the staff, if they videoed half of what I do up here, it would make an embarrassing video. But watch. Me, who's in Jesus Christ to reflect and act like Him. And, oh, but I want to be like them. Their values, their measurements of success. That's what I strive for. And if you catch yourself doing that, that's part of the drift. And this virus that causes all this, that drift away from God's people, is pictured in the Old Testament and New Testament, away from God's standards, away from the personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And it produces harmful results. And basically, in essence, the people of God who say they follow Jesus Christ, the children of God, have chosen another lover. And the other lover is the things of the world. Can you imagine the God of the universe? The God of the universe who plans for our salvation, sends Jesus Christ, makes relationship with Him possible through Jesus Christ. This is fantastic stuff. Wants, and believe it, believe me, I know you people. He wants to have relationship with you for eternity and put the mechanism in place to make that happen through Jesus. And I know you folks. Really? God, you've got to aim higher. Truth of the matter is, with all that going, can you imagine God looking at His people who've chosen another system, another way, another lover, another spouse, and not Him, after they already knew Him? How can you beat that? But that's always the rip in the flesh. And I wanted to ask you this morning, do you know where adultery begins? Anybody know? Just think about adultery for just a moment, okay? Where does adultery start? Now, we would say, oh, hold it. It started down there at the Holiday Inn where the guy met his secretary and they spent the weekend in the Holiday Inn. That's where adultery started. No, not even close. Adultery did not start by chance at a random hotel. That's not true. Have you ever thought where adultery starts? This might help clear up your thinking about how you got to be careful in this area. Adultery starts way back, and the counselors will tell you, adultery doesn't just happen. It never just happens. In fact, long before any physical act takes place, other acts have taken place that set that up so it does take place. Actually, adultery begins here, in the heart and in the mind. Always does. It starts in the heart and the mind with a heart that's not totally given over to Christ, who just lets one little crack in the door. And then, I'm going to say it, a glance that's enjoyed, and then maybe a look, and then maybe a stare, and then the mind and the heart start to spin, and they spin about what could be with that person. But hold it, you're married to somebody else. No, you don't understand. It's fun to think about that. It's nice. It's pleasant. It's great. And lo and behold, given enough time and then maybe a touch that's enjoyed, and this progresses to an act of culmination, which would be considered passion and love. Interesting. Adultery doesn't just happen. And hold it. Adultery for the child of God, thoroughly given over to the God of the universe, doesn't just happen. Mike doesn't all of a sudden go like this. Ooh, look what they got in the world. Woo, 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 gotta get there. And you say, you know, Mike ran out on Christ. There he went. He's chasing that Maserati down the block. He might get it. No, it goes like this in Mike's life. Maserati. This would be more Glenn's thing than mine, okay? And then if this is Glenn, he'd go like this. Awoo! Maserati! But he'd do it with a Jamaican accent. I don't know how to howl in a Jamaican accent, okay? And then he'd go, Maserati, man! And then here's what happens, though. And I'm making a little light of it. Slowly moving. Oh, stare. I'm getting closer. I like being closer. I like fire engine red on a car. Really? You do? Okay. And you get the idea, don't you? I'm not here to roast Glenn, but you do pick colors on cars, okay? It's a gradual, it's a slow progression and moving away. And that act, I would say this, watch me here. This first drift away, I would say that's infidelity. Okay? Not the culmination, jumping on the Maserati or jumping in the hotel with somebody. I would say this right here with the look, that's infidelity. And then infidelity more, and then it gets acted upon. You chase the Maserati down the block or go to the Holiday Inn. We as spiritual people get the Holy Spirit, but we still have the flesh within us, and we still desire the comforts of the flesh. We still desire the fun of the flesh. We still desire that the people in the world out there clap for us and give us their approval, when the only approval we should need right here is I'm serving Jesus Christ. That's all that really matters. Fact of the matter is this. Marriage is a great picture of my relationship with the Lord. And the question I would say to you is, and it's not a marital one, how are you doing with your marriage with the Lord of the universe? How are you doing with Him? Is He truly the one? Have you opened the door for others? Have you, in your mind, played fantasy about the others? Well, third point on your outline is this. What's the cure? Listen carefully to this. It goes from James chapter 4, verses 6 to 9. But he gives more grace. God, you're wonderful. Because I could see in Scripture some really pointed stories where the people in the Old Testament, this tribe or village, they didn't follow you and they were adulterous. And you know what you did? I always want to use this word. Never have it in public, but here it is. You smote them. Which modern day is smoked. Same difference, okay? You smote them. Killed them. Right there. Turn them to ashes. And story after story in the Bible, God's people turned away from Him. And He smote them. Oh, this is great, okay? And another story, God's people turned away from Him and followed those idols. And He what?
Smote them.
It's smote. It's kind of a Bible word. Smoked is cool, too. But smote them! Okay, dead. You get the idea. The fact of the matter is this, we see a God, look at verse 6, but He responds by giving more grace. God, you are unbelievable. All that for me? Let's go through this quickly. You get it here, right? In verse 6, He gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the, pick out the key words, humble. 7, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Key word. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let me keep going here. Verse 8, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Verse 9, be wretched, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter return to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you. Just get the power words here. Each one of these is a sermon or more. Verse 6, it begins by being humble, teachable, an accurate measure of ourselves, submissive. It begins with humility. Verse 7, I mean, just submit my whole self to God. And in so doing, resist the devil. Just stand firm and have the courage to say, I'm not doing that. I want to, but I'm not doing that. Verse 8, I need to intentionally draw near to God, which means I take action. Hold it. I find myself over here and I take action and I take steps to get back to where I'm supposed to be. In verse 9, I think you need to be emotionally involved with this. Look at the words there. Mourn and weep in light of my sin or in light of my movement away from Jesus Christ. The summer is here. And I always say if somebody's going to drift away from Christ, including me, now is the time to do it. The change of schedule, the change of appointments, the change of the light, the change of all kinds of stuff leads to a drifting pattern away from Jesus Christ. Fact of the matter is, it's time to make some strides so that doesn't happen. So I'm going to ask you to bow your head right now. I'm going to ask you to listen very, very carefully. And that is this. I don't really care what you may have been doing up to this point that, or what you're thinking up to this point that doesn't honor Jesus Christ. But today's the day that can all stop. Today's the day you can take the intentional steps to get back in line with Him. Back in step with Him. Today for you can be a whole new beginning if you allow it to take place. And you can literally tune up and reset up your summer today so that you have a summer that looks to the Lord and what He's called you to do, that produces prayer requests with answered prayer as to how He used you in different situations. Right now, I'm going to give you a minute of silence or so, a minute or so. Why don't you think right now? Let the Lord talk to you. If the Lord's pointing out an area or two in your life, an area or more or two or three or four that you've drifted away from Him in, would you talk about that with Him right now? Would you let Him point it out to you as not belonging in the life of one of His children? Would you do that right now? And would you do this? If you've hit upon an area or two that does not honor Jesus Christ, would you right now confess that to Him and make it right? And ask that He might recover you. Ask that He might embolden you not to do that anymore, to strengthen you not to do that anymore. And ask Him to use you as a summer's beginning. Would you pray like that right now? And then I'll close this in a minute or two. And Father, You hear our hearts, and that's all that matters. You know our hearts, You know me inside out, and still You give me more grace to reestablish that contact with You that You've wanted me to have, intimacy, marital-type relationship. Father, I ask for us to Candlewood this summer that we would go forward and that we would truly be representative of Your Son, witnessing, sharing, living out for Him with nothing holding us back. For it's in Your Son's name we do pray. Amen.